Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? We're gonna do like a little bit moment of silence. Then I'm gonna play a tribute that somebody had made, the best of Robin Williams. So give a moment of silence. Then I'm gonna play the tribute video. If you guys are not familiar what had happened, Robin Williams apparently hanged himself, committed suicide. That was what we heard, told, and it is entirely true. I guess I'm going to touch on a little bit about like suicide or depression and stuff like that. Yours truly was once depressed, and it's like the ending cycle that is not going to go away, which is going to be entirely true. But I guess what was going on with him is like he tried to help himself, like get help and stuff like that. And I guess it just wasn't enough and he took his own life away.
Well, over the years, he did what is commonly known as self-medicating, which is where a lot of people who have mental illness, including depression, turn to drugs, alcohol, sexual addiction, to get that feeling of wellness. And the trouble is, it starts out with, okay, I'm okay on this amount, I'm okay on this amount, but then it's like, well, this isn't helping anymore, I need to do more, I need to do more, and I need to do more.
Right.
And so, I mean, Robin Williams was never hid the fact that he drank too much and took drugs and everything. You know, he was blatantly upfront with about his struggles with those. You know, and now with what had happened and everything, it's tragic, it really is. But I hope that a positive will come out of it, that the media and society will start talking about mental illness, start speaking about, you know, it is a silent illness. You can't point and say, look, this is what hurts. There's no open wound that says this is what hurts. And I hope that, you know, society and the media won't say, okay, this person was a nut job, because that's what they do. They say, you have mental illness of any kind, you're a nut job. Got a screw loose. No, you don't. You have an illness that you're trying desperately to to survive every single day of your life.
And right, and take it from someone that has been around someone that has that illness, aka me. Just this is one of
hard.
Yeah, it hurts that he's dead, and it hurts more because of what it was, and not many people are talking about what's.
And see, the thing is that if he had died of natural causes of cancer, not cancer, tragic in itself, but people are able to grasp it better. You know, it was like when Christopher Reeve died. Let's be honest, he'd been in that wheelchair for such a long time. And as you know, with any kind of paralysis and everything, your body slowly shuts down.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a tragedy when he died, but you could get your head around it. When people have had cancer and have died, you can get your head around it. But suicide is a whole different thing, because people say that those who commit suicide are taking the easy way out. No, they're not. They just don't think there's any other door open to them. And people have got to be friends and open that other door.
Exactly. Don't tease nobody, or don't make fun of them, or don't call them like mental retarded or anything like that.
If somebody comes to you and says, I can't go on anymore, listen to them. Even if you can't help them, say to them, I don't know what I can do for you, but I'll find somebody who can.
Exactly.
Help them. Just don't let them sit there alone in the dark.
Exactly.
I know that I put on this front for everybody, and AJ can attest to this. I put on this front for everybody of joking around, laughing around, having a good time and everything. But what you don't see is the depression behind closed doors. You don't see that. You know, and depression hits people for millions of reasons, but also hits people for no reason. It's a clinical disorder. We have to help people. If you know somebody who is supposed to be taking medication for it, encourage them to take medication for it.
Yes, she's been on me about taking
it. I'm on you every day.
Yes.
Have you taken your meds? No. Go take your meds. Here's your water. Take your meds. Before he goes to bed, have you taken your meds?
Yeah.
To the point where I know that you get annoyed at times, because I see it in your face and I hear it in your tone. But I would rather you be annoyed with me for nagging at you than me not nagging at you and then me having to live without you.
Right. And
because that option isn't there.
Exactly. And don't just like, if you're like a friend of a person or anything like that, do not ignore the signs. Like, I know there's like services, hotlines, or like, I'm not trying to say like it bad, like mental institution, but I know there's another word for that.
There's
help.
Mental health clinics that'll help.
Exactly.
And the thing is, you don't have to be suicidal to call one. You can be a friend of somebody who you know is suicidal or is depressed or is having a hard time and call them up and say, look, my mom, dad, sister, cousin, brother, uncle, aunt, nephew, niece, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, best friend, work colleague, whoever is struggling, what can I do for them?
Try your best to try to help them, because if you don't do anything, it'll be too late.
Do you want to tell them your story, how I got you help? Or do you want me
to? No. Actually, you can say half and I can go with the other half.
It was basically after we lost Matthew. AJ, I knew, had been struggling for years with various issues. And a lot of it was put down to bullying, basically, as a child. That's the only way I could describe it. People in his life weren't very sympathetic to how he was feeling in his knees, and he was just put down as the awkward child, the child who, you know, wasn't, who could do better. And he was struggling. I saw him struggling, and he'll tell you that every day it was like, is there anything I can do for you? What can I do for you? I will do anything. And I do attest this, anything in my power to make those who I love, their lives comfortable, to help them. To the point where I will stay up. If it means saving somebody I love or a friend, I will stay up for a week talking to them if it means saving their life. AJ would tell you I would give him days off where I'd just say to him, go do something for you. Just go do something totally for you. Don't think about me. Don't think about our family. Don't think about the household. Go do something for you. I still do it now from time to time when I see he needs it. And we went through losing Matthew, you know, and it pushed his depression, his other mental health issues he has to boiling point. And a couple of days after we lost Matthew, he said he was going out for a walk.
I think I was upset about something that we were talking about.
We were talking about Matthew's funeral. And you said you needed to go clear your head. And it must have been about 35, 45 minutes later, I heard somebody in our attic, because we lived in an attic apartment. So I heard somebody in the storage area, and I'm like, what the heck? Went and checked, found AJ sat there holding a knife. He wasn't himself. He didn't know who I was. He just wasn't him. And I had never, ever hit anybody. Well, a person who I'm in love with, I have never hit them before. But the only way I could get AJ to what people say snap out of this particular frame of mind he was in was that I had to hit him, which in itself was the hardest thing in the world to have to do. I was raised, you don't put your hands on someone, you don't hit the person you love, and here's the man who I'm trying to pry a knife out of his hand, and I couldn't get it out because of the kind of trance-like zombie state he was in, so I had to hit him. And suddenly it wasn't even suddenly, you just saw the change in his eyes and everything, and he just looked at me and said, I need help.
Right, I needed help for a long time, and it was like about time that I actually went to go do something for it with Hazel's help. But I've been dealing with depression growing up since I was a kid. Start going to school, like we're saying, like, or you get fun of.
And I think you need to explain that kids get depression. It's not an adult thing.
It's a kid. Yeah, it's a kid.
It hits every age.
Yeah, it hits everyone. And also, like, it didn't matter that I was the tallest person in the school. Still got picked on. Maybe I was too nice, but that's what I was raised as. You know, I kind of raised myself to be a nice person. Although,
raising yourself being your
pretty boy. And nothing against my mother, but I know, I understand why some of the things she did what she did, because I was her.
But we have to put in perspective that your mom was a child when she had you. She wasn't a grown woman. She was a child still.
Yeah, a child that didn't know how to deal with a child that has suddenly ended up with issues.
Well, let's put it out there what it is, and I hate to throw you under the bus on this. She didn't know how to raise a child who had certain special needs.
Mm-hmm.
And by saying special needs, it doesn't mean that AJ had autism or Down syndrome. He had learning disorders in school. He had emotional issues, which you will find a lot of times comes from a child being raised by a child.
Hmm. That I didn't know.
Yeah. And the fact of it is, it would be different. I don't want to put all the blame on, like, all of your family and everything. Say, for example, if Robert came to us at age 16 saying that a girl he was with had gotten pregnant, we could help them raise that child properly, teach him how to be a good parent. I think if you have a child who has a kid while they're still very young, like in their early teens, mid-teens, as a parent of that child, you have to also parent your grandchild for a certain, you have to help them both. You've still
right.
got a child. And I think that's what happened with you, is that it was too much was left on your mum to raise you. There wasn't enough support for her from others to help teach her, okay, this is how you be a mum. You have to teach kids. So I think that's where a lot of your issues came into it as well. I'm sorry, I went completely off on a tangent.
Oh, no, oh, no. I know, and it's fine. But it's just like, of course, it continued on for me being teased, also being abused by a family member. Also, like, being teased all the way through high school. Senior year, like I said, I had enough. And just try my best to start defending myself and all that stuff. And for the guy with that problem, he managed to graduate high school. So
were you one of the few who graduated high school in your family? And see,
yep.
that's a testament. And I think what people have got to realize is that those people who suffer with mental disorders are some of the most intelligent people out there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I worked in a psychiatric hospital from age 18 through to when I was 23. A lot of the patients we would get in, their IQs were off the charts. Amazingly intelligent people. And I think part of it is that I don't want to say, I think they're intelligent. Part of it is that with some people with mental illness, there's too much information going on and nowhere for it to go. I know your mind at times runs 90 to the dozen. We've had days where you slept 2 or 3 hours and that's it, and you're up and you're doing things and you're brainstorming, you want to do this, you want to do that, and it's just too much. And I think that's what people have got to realize, that you look at some of these people with mental illnesses and everything, they're highly intelligent people. Look at Robin Williams. That man's talent. When you watch him in a movie, you get drawn into the character he's portraying. Like when he played Mrs. Doubtfire, he was a guy as a woman, and you didn't think, oh, Robin Williams is doing a good job. You thought, this is... You know, this is Mrs. Doubtfire. When you heard his voice as Aladdin, it wasn't Robin Williams doing Aladdin's voice. Doing the genie's voice. It was the genie. That was the genie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Sorry, I'm stealing your piece again.
But the point is, what we're trying to make, and especially society has it today, that there's nothing wrong with mental people, was in the case and the fact, at most of the time, or half the time, it is.
People are embarrassed by people with mental disorders of any kind. They're
people,
embarrassed.
Yeah, and people like myself found out about this when I was 18. It was just like more embarrassing. And when I found out I finally was told like what was wrong with me,
it's
like.
But then it took until you were 31 years old for you to be able to get help. And that's what the sad part is. If you break your leg, you get help right away. If you are diagnosed with an illness like cancer and stuff, the help's there. But for mental illness, the help is just, it's not as readily available. We can go to, if I stub my toe right now, we thought we'd broken it, how many hospitals are around here that we could go to? There's like St. Luke's, West Allis, Aurora Sinai, St. Mary's, St. Joseph's. They're everywhere.
Exactly.
But if you have a mental breakdown, you've got to go to the other hot part of the county, to the psychiatric hospital there. And that's not how it should be. I'm sorry, that's not how it should be. I shouldn't have had to have waited for it to open for me to be able to get you help the following day.
And it just sucks that I'm currently like battling with Social Security, and they thinking that in their minds there's nothing wrong with me, which I know in my heart there is.
But it's not a case of knowing in your heart that there is something wrong.
No, it's
the hospital said there's something wrong. You're on medication for something because there's something wrong. But Social Security is fighting you on it by saying the level of severity isn't high enough for them. And it's like, how high does it have to be? Do you
exactly.
have to be in hospital with bandages on your wrist because you slit them for them to pay attention? You know, how many medications do you have to be on? You're already on, what, three?
Four.
I mean, is there a limit? Do we have to go to six before they'll see you? And that's the half the battle there, is you're fighting the whole time for your basic rights. And it's sad. People just don't get it. They just don't get it. And they need to get it. Because my thing is if I hadn't have been there that day, would you be here now?
I'm surprised I made it past.
Would you be here now?
But before you say that, I'm surprised that I made it past 17, by the way, that I was feeling. And my mom didn't know about this until I finally told her.
About the abuse?
Well, not just the abuse, but... No, I actually told her in my late 20s, but it's just like she didn't want to hear it.
And that's the part of the problem right there, is people don't want to hear it.
Just like,
I didn't want to find you in the attic trying to kill yourself. I don't like the fact that every day is a struggle for you. And on your bad days, when you go out, I'm scared that the knock at the door is going to be the police department telling me something's happened to you.
Right.
That's what people don't get, is that is the life when you live with someone who suffers with depression.
Exactly, and more importantly, we can learn from what happened to Robin Williams. All we can do is, I'm sorry, I'm starting to cry here, but the point is...
Don't let this man's suicide have been in vain. Let something positive come out of this, and if it means that we all wear red silly noses for the entire month of August, to bring awareness to depression stuff in his memory, then let's freaking do it and raise awareness of it.
Exactly. Just the point is, if you look online, try to look for help, any type of help for that.
If you have nowhere else to turn, find Maddie's memory page. We will find you whatever help you need. I don't care if you haven't lost a Maddie's room was set up for families who have lost children. But we're all somebody's children, and I don't want any parent to have to lose another kid, regardless of whether that child is a newborn or, in Robin Williams' case, a 63-year-old man. If you need help, you find us. AJ will put the link up everywhere of Maddie's memory page, and you come and find us. We will find you someone.
Exactly.
Even if it takes us all night to do it, we will find you someone. Now I have to go before I...
Go ahead, because we're going to take a little break, and we're sorry for talk about this like this long, but it just needed to be said, and it just finally needed to come out, and finally we want people to start taking action and society looking the other way because of them being selfish or whatnot. So we're just going to take this break, and we're going to go back to what we need to talk about today for the show. So we will be right back.
We walk alone in the unknown. We live to win another victory. Our sacred scars show who we are. It's time to face the winds of the night. We are war, we are mine. We will stand together. Number one, the chosen one. We are war, we are war. We will fight forever. We are war.
To a Q&A they had with Kevin Nash and X-Pac. I'm surprised he wasn't at Raw tonight. But anyways, it was questions that was asked like about his career and how stuff happened in 95 because like, ooh, excuse me, I guess like half and half in WWE around 95 when he was champion, and I guess it was like half and half, and people didn't like it, people who did. It was all craziness. And he's playing about his transfer to WCW, which he said that he wanted to stay with WWE, well, WWF at the time. He wanted to stay, but he said, this is what WCW is offering me. Can you match it? Vince said, I can't do it. So he just told him goodbye and started in WCW. And he didn't go to WCW unless they had, like, a plan on what they're going to do. So, and I guess, like, yeah, Eric Bischoff was the one that came up with the NWO. But he also talked about the current status of WWE, which he is still part of WWE, but just worked on the, I guess, advising side of things. So he does like the NXT product, and he say it was all Triple H on that one. And I guess he's kind of like how some of us are. Should we like more matches than like less talking and stuff like that? And X-Pac was like, he was saying the same thing. Like they also talk about the gathering of the show that they did a few years ago, that the gathering of the Juggalos, because, you know, Insane Clown Posse, they're big wrestling fans too, and they host a fair called, I think it's JCW, I'm sorry. I was going to say JWO for some odd reason. But, yeah, it was JCW, Gigolo Championship Wrestling. And I've been to a show before when they was here, I think it was a few years back, and it was a pretty good show. But, anyways, I guess also X-Pac, I guess he was saying he only signed for like with WCW for 2 years, but he saw something, I guess, like not everybody has seen, that WCW was going to fall apart. And they did talk about the status of TNA, that they both feel bad on if they, you know, had to close his doors, but they're hoping that, you know, that somehow they can renegotiate a deal or something like that. So it, in their words, it was like they was thinking that okay. Libby, come lay down, honey.
You can't get up on the bed, so.
Okay. But saying if they can't work out the TV or the network deal, they should just pull the plug. Crazy that sounds, but that's what they say. It was a good Q&A, and I could have got, you know, a photo with them or whatnot, but unfortunately I was in a $2 short. But it's okay. I'm pretty sure, you know, I'll see them again sometime soon. But off with that and on with something. There's some news. And I know there was posted on the internet. I think it was posted up earlier today that I guess Double J, Jeff Jarrett, has joined the big and popular Bullet Club. And they thinking it's a possibility they could bring that to Global Force Wrestling, which I can see that as a possibility. But this is going to be something interesting, that how this is going to play out, since they're trying to like launch Global Force Wrestling in November. So I guess we will just have to wait and see what's going on with that. Okay. The results of this past Tuesday's main event. Heath Slater and Titus O'Neil versus Goldust and Stardust, which surprisingly Heath Slater had got the pin for the win. It's, I guess, his second win in a row, as people say, since it was with the Nexus. And of course, you know, like last Monday, he pinned it Seth Rollins. Summer Rae versus AJ Lee. The match was like kind of quick, but AJ Lee won the match. And AJ Lee and Paige got a little bit of confrontation. But that happened on Raw. I'm sorry. But then again, I was watching both main event and Raw at the same time, so. But anyways, AJ Lee got the win over Summer Rae. Jack Swagger versus Alberto Del Rio, which apparently ended up being his last match, with Jack Swagger getting the victory. I guess in a way you got to go out, you go out just like that. But let's get to Alberto Del Rio's release. I guess due to like unprofessional conduct, and I guess rumors were that he had a problem with somebody with the social media of WWE. I don't know if they were making fun of him or what was what, but he ended up slapping him in the face and got into it, and it just ended from there. And if you hear rumors like, okay, he was trying to flirt with Renee, Dean Ambrose got in his face, or he spit at Triple H, at this moment, as we know, those rumors, those stories are not true. But, yeah, it sucks that, well, I'm going to admit, at first, I wasn't a big fan of Alberto Del Rio. I admit that. But it just, over the years, he did grow on me, so. Yeah, he grew on me more and more, so. I had none but respect for the man, and I did meet. Yeah, I guess in my opinion, early on in his career, yeah, he had a bad attitude, but if he was like that, like inside the work or whatever, maybe so. He was a nice guy, in my opinion, and a great wrestler. So probably what he's going to do now is just go back to Mexico and work there. But then again, his contract was going to be up next month, so, and plus he wasn't going to resign anyway, so. I guess what a way to go out and get out early. So here it is. TNA Impact results. I was watching that and Raw at the same time as well. So on to the results. Abyss versus Bram. It was a Monster's Ball with Bram winning the match thanks to the interference of Madness. Roman versus Mr. Anderson and Gunner and Sam Shaw. Roman did win the match. Team Bully versus Team Carter. I don't know why this match wasn't the main event. It should have been. I was just like, it was a good match, and the surprise person was none other than Al Snow. And they did win. I guess my thing is this, that should have been your main event. That shouldn't have been like the next to last or first match or anything like that. I think that was a bad call on their part, but we're going to talk more about this in a sec. But X Division Championship three-way match, Low-Key versus Sonata versus Samoa Joe, good match, and Samoa Joe is the new X Division champ. I think it's been a while since he had hold of the X Division belt, but maybe there's no plans for him to bloom out, hopefully. And the ending of Impact, I can see where certain people was thinking that it was bad that, like, the way it happened, and also it was just, they could have did it differently. I agree with that. That for some of you guys said, and some of the, you know, internet wrestling media says, they didn't like how it finished. Like, suddenly she just ended up firing both, I guess, Big Zeke and Gene Snitsky. Just ended up just firing them, then Team Bully with Dreamer and Devon kind of surround her wing and start being up, you know, who was there. I think they had a plan. I think where I saw a little bit that Kimo ended up having Dixie over to them, and I guess just took off, and she did went through, well, she was trying to escape the faces of the TNA rock locker room that came out and made her go back to the ring and set her up, put her through a table, which I look at that when they showed it again and again and again, and they did say she really did hurt her back. I was going through a table. It was the position that she was in, because it was just like, it looked like it just smacked. Like she didn't, it looked like she didn't hit the table at all. She, like her back just hit the mat, and maybe like the whiplash, whatever, just, it was not good. So this is one of those things, it was just, you should have rehearsed it before you did it so you can get it right. But, yep, she has a back injury, and that's all we know from that. Excuse me. And we're sure a speedy recovery. But let's get to what happened tonight on Monday Night Raw. Of course, it was Hulk Hogan's birthday. We will get to that part in a minute. But let's get on to the matches that happened. You have Roman Reigns versus Ryback in the handicap match, with Roman Reigns winning by disqualification while they was Ryback was throwing Roman Reigns to the post, and it was going back and forth after the match, and Roman Reigns ended up being on top, and just, and Renee Young interviewed him, and he said that he was ready for this Sunday. As if y'all don't know, he's going to be going against, he was going against Randy Orton at SummerSlam this Sunday. And RVD versus Seth Rollins, decent match. Seth Rollins did win the match. Jack Swagger versus Cesaro, it was another decent match too. Jack Swagger did win. This match, AJ Lee versus Eva Marie, kind of funny. I'm not saying that she's improving, and I'm not saying that she's bad either, but she did okay in this match. She did okay. It wasn't the best, but can't blame AJ Lee, but Eva Marie did win the match thanks to the distraction by Paige. And Paige said what she had to say and going from there. Then AJ came, went out the ring and started beating up Eva Marie a little bit, then got her title and skipped back to the backstage. Dolph Ziggler versus Heath Slater with The Miz out there in commentary. I think one of the funniest things was JBL had accidentally unplugged The Miz on the headset. Michael Cole and Jerry the King Lawler was just giving JBL grief about it. I just thought it was funny. But once again, oh yeah, God, they didn't overdo that plug-in like they did last week. Last week was just bad, but this week it was okay. I think they plugged it too much, but not like plug it enough that would just make me sick. Right. But once again, his second solo win in a row, he Slater did win the match by countout while The Miz and Dolph Ziggler was having it out a bit.
What's his entire career on WWE Network?
Dolph Ziggler wanted to shake Slater's hand, and Slater tried to kick them. Dolph caught it and did his finishing move on Heath Slater, and that was that on that part. Main event was Randy Orton versus Sheamus. Well, let me get on to that in a bit. They was going to end up having Brie Bella versus Stephanie McMahon, but unfortunately, I guess so-called Daniel Bryan's receptionist admitted that. They said specialist. Yeah, they did say specialist.
They said therapist later on.
Yeah, they did. But at the time, they said specialist. But anyways, she claimed and admitted that her and Daniel Bryan had an affair. Brie came out, slapped her, then attacking Stephanie, and which moved on to the match they were supposed to have. But Stephanie came out and told Brie that that lady ended up pressing charges against her and ended up getting arrested and going to jail. She says she will see her at SummerSlam if she gets out of jail post bail, which you know is very well. Okay, main event, Randy Orton versus Sheamus. Of course, you know these two. They're going back and forth, and the finish was very good. Randy Orton with a out of nowhere RKO wise. Sheamus was trying to do maybe a shoulder block from the top ropes or whatever, but Randy Orton hitting the RKO and getting the win. I will talk about what I think about Raw in a minute. Of course, earlier, Brock had to say what he had to say about the main event this Sunday. Then Cena said what he had to say. But also, like the last segment, Hulk Hogan, at a birthday, they did like a tribute video of his past, like what he's done in WWE and WCW. And his second stint in the WWE and through his return this past February. A lot of the WWE roster out there, then you had some of the legends that was there, Jimmy Hart, Mean Gene Oakland. Then you had a lot of them came out like Piper, Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orkoff, Ric Flair, Holden Nash. Nash was, I guess he wasn't lying, he was there, so they say their little things. Hogan ripped off the shirt and had like the NWO shirt underneath. They was all singing happy birthday. Brock Lesnar music hits, came to the ring, looked at some of the guys that was in the ring, went to Hogan's face and said the party's over and looked like they was going to get into the confrontation. I guess out of nowhere, Cena came up and just ready, like, you want to go? Let's go. Let's go right now. And Brock just backed away and said, and said, I'll see you this Sunday. And the way to end Raw. But, oh, yeah, he said in 6 weeks' time. But he called himself and said 6 days' time. But I guess the ending of Raw saved the show. Well, the show was okay. I wouldn't say it was as great as like a go-home show before the pay-per-view. It was okay, but it wasn't like good as exciting. The only thing that was good was probably the arrest by Brie getting arrested and Hogan's birthday with the last minute segment, which the confrontation between John Cena and Brock Lesnar, which I thought shouldn't have interrupted the birthday celebration, should have been at least before or surely after the celebration or something like that. But that's how they went with it, and I guess that's how it goes. I know there's more to come that we got to say. We're going to take one last break, so I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk about, of course, the news that I do have to share. So, hey, just get to the board here, and we will be right back. It's a shameful thing, lost your head, a careless man who could wind up dead. You wear your sin like it's some kind of pride. Come on. Okay, sorry it took me so long to get back. I know some of y'all was waiting for this announcement and all the stuff that's going on. So, let's get to it. Actually, I gotta look for something right quick. I'm sorry, just bear with me. Let's see, but y'all get a chance, check out the website, WrestlingFansSpeakOut.com. All news and information and all that good stuff. Okay, this is what I wanted to say. And this is the surprise. I know Canada State has been postponed, but this time is going to be a little different. So we're actually going to do the show Saturday, October 18th, 2014, 7:30 p.m. start time at iCandy's Bar and Lounge, where it was going to be the show was supposed to actually be like 3 weeks from Saturday, but we decided to move it due to the drama of certain local wrestlers who don't have a life. So we're going to have a show on October 18th, 5152 South Packer Avenue in Cullahy. We're going to host the 8-man tournament to crown this year's King of the State. And we are going to be doing like the 50-50 raffle, and some of the proceeds of the raffle and the prizes and stuff are going to go to some of the charities, like maybe Maddie's Memory or Cancer, or to, you know, maybe Baby Loss Community. So some of the money will go towards that. And also, we'll be selling some, like, bracelets, wristbands, hats, and all that other good stuff for cancer. So some of the proceeds will go to whatever charities that's around for, like, breast cancer. So some of that money is going to go to that. But there's more. We will have a special meet and greet with a former TNA knockout, Lady Tappa. So that's the big news. So we're going to try to set up something so we can get pre-sale tickets. People that get first, second row, they're going to get like a little gift bag with like courtesy of stuff from Dunn Sports and Buffalo Wild Wings. Get some little gifts and stuff like that. Of course, the meet and greet will be an hour before the show. And tickets will go on sale sometime a week from, let's just say within a week, 2 weeks from today. So, WrestlingFansSpeakOut.com will have more information at that as of tomorrow. So you get a chance, come check it out, and hopefully we'll see you at the show on that Saturday, October 18th. And also all that month, we were doing something special. What was that on that Wednesday of that week?
What, the
15th
of October?
Yeah.
Yeah, the light up the lake where we put in for the... We're putting
floating
candles on the lake.
So anyone in the Milwaukee area or anywhere around the world, is go to like your nearest lakefront, and we're going to do that celebration on that Wednesday. So it's still maddiesmemory.weebly.com, right? Okay, look for Maddie's Memory on Facebook, and look for the group on Facebook as well. There'll be more information on that as well, so check that out. So I think that's all the time we have. So thank you all for listening. Again, check out the website, WrestlingFansSpeakOut.com. More information about the King of the State will be posted up tomorrow. So you get more information on there. And also, any special events that's going on, I know BCW got a show this Friday. And then there's a few other shows. I think there's a show that's going to be going on up north this Friday as well. But more information on the show that's going on this week, go ahead and check out the website. So until then, guys, this is Along With Hazel, this is Artro. You guys have a good night. And don't forget about check out the other shows as well, like Hazel Runs Her Mouth every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Central Time. Also, check out The Smarts List with Chris and Rainey. So just show y'all love and support and listen to the show, because as of late, The Smarts List, the show has been getting kind of funny and crazy. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to appear on this Thursday show and probably plug everything else. But well, until then, you guys, there'll probably be more shows coming up and more information on other stuff. Like I said, go to the website. Yeah, I'm kind of being annoying like I am with the WWE Network price, $9.99. But anyways, y'all have a good night. Maybe I'll make an appearance on Hazel Runs Her Mouth this Wednesday. Who knows? But until then, you guys have a good night. And also join us this Sunday for WWE SummerSlam After the Fight, because we're going to talk about the matches and the results of that as well, too. So look for that. That will be 10 p.m. Central Time, right after SummerSlam pay-per-view. Until then, check us out and on past episodes on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, I'm really going to go this time. I know you're getting sick of me. So anyways, good night.